Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all of our mothers in the audience, and we do hope that you have a very, very happy Mother's Day today. A few other announcements before we get into the lesson. One is members of our youth group will be handing out flowers to all of our mothers in the audience as you exit the auditorium this morning, expecting or mothers, current mothers, be watching for a flower. And again, an expression from our youth group of our love and appreciation for you. Also, we learned yesterday that Lena Beaver, elderly Christian, member of the Regency Church, but known by many of you, passed away in her sleep yesterday morning. So let's remember all the family and friends of Miss Lena Beaver. Yesterday, about 19 from Creekwood went up to Tuscaloosa to try to help out with tornado victims, and primarily ended up helping the Central Church there. And they send their greetings and their appreciation for all of your support. Yesterday, distribution was made of a lot of goods that had been donated by brothers and sisters all over the states. Some of our members, along with other Christians, went out into the community looking for families that needed some supplies, and some supplies were distributed. And others of us just stayed around the Central Church building and tried to help clean up, and a lot of cleanup was done. And it's hard for me to describe the things that we saw, but as I thought about a lot of the work that was being done, tractors with those claws pulling these iron beams that had fallen, been torn down. And I just thought, as I sat here this morning, if you can imagine this auditorium being caved in. And that's what we saw with the Central Church building. Thank you for your generosity in helping with the tornado victims. We saw Mark and Laura Cummings, and they are setting up and getting ready to go out into the communities and help those that they possibly can. And of course, it's our hope and prayer that many lives will be helped and that many souls will be saved as a result of our efforts. Stay tuned for details of perhaps another work trip being planned. There is so much that needs to be done. But this morning, we want to thank our moms. And again, wish you a happy Mother's Day. Thank you for all the hard work that's involved in being a godly mother. And it is hard work. I'm reminded of Barbara Johnson's statement, if it was going to be easy to raise kids, it never would have started with something called labor. Thank you for your labor, you godly mothers. It reminds me of the father who was trying to explain the concept of marriage to his 4-year-old daughter. And he got out their wedding album and started describing the wedding ceremony and what it meant to be married, to be man and wife. And as he was pointing to pictures of the wedding party, the little 4-year-old asked, "Daddy, is that when Mommy came to work for us?" I guess he had to say yes to that. There was a 4-year-old and a 6-year-old that presented their mom with a house plant for Mother's Day. And they said they had seen another bouquet of flowers that they wanted to give her, especially because of this ribbon that was found on it. And they reminded her of how she often said, you know, if she could just have a little peace so she could rest. They said, "We would have bought that bouquet of flowers, but it was too expensive because it had this ribbon that said rest in peace on it." We hope you do have rest, but perhaps not to that extent. But we do thank you for your hard work. It is hard work. But I know there are many who will join me this morning in saying, there's no more influential work than what is done by a godly mother. One person wrote, "Satisfaction comes from having a lasting positive impact on the lives of others, Nobody on earth even comes close to a mother for having the potential for that kind of influence. So thank you, godly mothers, for your hard work. There are many great portraits of motherhood in Scripture, but we want to say thanks, Mom, by looking at a godly grandmother and a godly mother by the name of Lois and Eunice. If you will, look with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy on this occasion. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, Paul says to Timothy, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am persuaded now lives in you, Timothy, also. Here's a godly mother and grandmother that had a profound impact on Timothy. In fact, I'd like for us to look at three scriptures this morning that speak to their relationship and no doubt the impact that Lois and Eunice had upon their son and grandson, Timothy. And these are the impacts that many of the mothers in our audience have upon your children and grandchildren. And we thank God for you. But these are also ways that each of us can help have an impact, perhaps not only on our children, but on other children, on other young people that are coming up. If we can help instill some of these lessons, some of these values, then we can help have a spiritual impact on the generation to come. Notice from passages concerning Timothy and his mother and grandmother that they helped instill a respect for Scripture in his life. In chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, beginning of verse 12, we read these words. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So Paul is warning Timothy. It's not going to be easy to live for Christ. In fact, it's going to get worse. But then he had these instructions. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So despite how difficult it would be for Timothy to live for Christ, Paul's instruction, his encouragement to him, is continue the things that you have learned, but also remember from whom you learned them. Now, Paul had taught him a lot, but it was his mother and grandmother that from a child had taught him the Holy Scriptures. So Paul encourages him, continue in these things. Continue in them. These women did everything that they could to provide Timothy with the opportunity to learn about God's will. And it's something that we need to incorporate as we seek to encourage and strengthen the generation that's coming and generations that will come. How do we instill in our children a respect for Scripture? Well, we must model respect for Scripture. Our grandchildren won't understand the importance of God's Word and the place that it should have in our lives unless they see it demonstrated in our lives. How can we model respect for the Scriptures? Obviously by studying from it regularly, by living its precepts consistently, and by teaching it diligently. Lois and Eunice had God's word in their hearts. They had internalized the truth. And I love that phrase that faith first dwelt or lived in his grandmother and his mother. And now, Paul says, it lived in him. And yes, we have many other things to supplement what's going on at home, like our Bible school program, our vacation Bible school that's just a few weeks away, the Lads to Leaders Leaderettes program, a youth ministry that teaches the Word of God in a way that teenagers can understand and embrace it and live it out. But all these other things are intended just to supplement what we're striving to do at home in teaching our children and grandchildren to have a respect for God's Word. But notice as we study about Lois and Eunice, we also see that they instilled in Timothy an authentic faith. And there's that phrase again, I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded now lives in you also. You see, faith is not hereditary. It's not automatically passed on from generation to generation. It is learned. And Timothy learned from his mother and grandmother. And he took those lessons to heart and modeled their faith. Notice that Paul describes it as a sincere faith which lived in them. A sincere faith. Not hypocritical. It was real. It was without any pretense. No false facade on their part. Timothy had living lessons of what it meant to be faithful to the Lord in his mother and grandmother. How do we instill an authentic faith in our children? We must teach them, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. But it also must be modeled before them, lived before them, as Lois and Eunice lived their faith before Timothy. And no one knows better than our children and grandchildren whether our faith is genuine. They can see it when it's not real. We can't fool them. It must be sincerely modeled before them. I heard recently about a preacher who had a long conversation with someone about becoming a Christian. And he talked and talked and talked and sought to persuade this young man to become a child of God, to be baptized into Christ. And after they had talked for a while, the young man said, I'm ready. I'm ready to obey the gospel. I'm ready to become a child of God. And the preacher was elated, but he was curious, what was it that I said? He wanted to know, was there something in particular that had been shared with him that day that caused him to put his faith into action? Well, the young man answered, it was nothing that I ever heard you say. It was the way my mother lived. You godly mothers and fathers and grandparents, never underestimate the influence you have. That there may be Christians, or there may be Christians to come because of your faith, your authentic faith that has been lived before others. There's something else that's beautiful about Lois and Eunice that we deduce from Scripture in this third passage I want us to read together. This is in Acts chapter 16. And from it, I believe we can see that Lois and Eunice instilled within Timothy a desire to minister, a desire to serve. Notice this text with me in Acts 16. Then Paul came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. And there seems to be an indication there that his father never became a Christian. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Notice this, verse 3. Paul wanted to have him go on with him. Go on where? Go on the missionary journeys with him. To continue to be a companion of Paul as he sought to share the gospel of Jesus throughout the known world. So he wanted Timothy to go with him. And he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region. For they all knew that his father was Greek. But three qualities about Timothy here. Number one, he was a strong Christian. He was a disciple. That word disciple means student or learner or follower. He had become a Christian from the preaching of Paul, but no doubt through the influence of his mother and grandmother. So now he also was a follower of Jesus through their influence. He had a good reputation. Notice he was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. He was known in that region. And that was a testimony, no doubt, to the influence of his mother and grandmother. But he was also available. He was also available. Paul wanted to take him away from home, take him to places where the name of Christ had not been preached, take him to places where he may be persecuted for being a Christian. You think about the things that Paul endured for the cause of Christ. And these were things that Timothy might himself face. But he was available. He was willing to go. There's no way this kind of commitment to ministry develops unless it's encouraged at home. It was thrilling to me to see yesterday some of our young people who were able to make the trip, to see them dig in and help and be willing to carry bricks and get filthy and dirty and work in the hot sun, become a real redneck. These young people, I believe, have learned it from somewhere. And they learned it from home. Some of them even brought their friends. So there's that godly influence of parents and grandparents that not only have influenced your own children and grandchildren, but are reaching out to others. And our children need to learn the Bible and grow in their faith to the point where they become difference makers, to where they have a desire to serve wherever the service is needed. You see, the truth of the matter is we're saved in order to serve. We are disciples so that we can disciple others. We are equipped so that we can evangelize. We are sanctified so that we can be sent out to a lost and dying world. I was reminded of a young man that spoke at a senior banquet at the congregation where he was attending. He did a masterful job of challenging the graduating seniors, but he gave them an object lesson. He made this statement: "Seniors, you've been served by your parents, by your teachers, and by others. And it's now time to take up the towel and serve others. It's time to take up the towel." Then he brought out a towel, to which he gave to each of the graduating seniors' parents, who in turn handed the towel to their children. It's time to take up the towel. How do we instill in our children a desire to take up the towel, a desire to serve others? We model it before them. You see a recurring theme here? We model it before them. We seek to serve. And I dare say that when it comes to most of our minds, when we think of a servant, the first one that comes to our minds is our mothers or our grandmothers, who model servanthood each and every day. We can also provide opportunities for our children to serve others. Listen to this statement. Our primary job as parents, as grandparents, is to teach and train our children so that they grow up to be men and women of God who will serve Him wholeheartedly for the rest of their lives. That's our goal. Lois and Eunice took that seriously, and Timothy followed in their steps of authentic faith. And may we as parents and grandparents take this job seriously and do our best to instill in our children a respect for Scripture, an authentic faith, and a desire to serve. I want to close this morning with a poem entitled, My Mother, in honor of you godly mothers. My mother, your love I know. I've seen your tears. You've given to me my life. You've walked through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife. To see that I could have the best that you could give to me, you gave up needs and often rest. You viewed eternity. To do His will, my highest call, and by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall. You held me up in prayer. Though strands of gray may brush your hair and miles divide our way, I know that by your quiet prayer, you've helped me day by day. You've shown me how to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me see and be aware that life is so soon past. Despite your love, I would not dare, for there's not another who spreads her gentle love and care like you, my loving mother. Again, to our mothers, we say Happy Mother's Day. And we say thank you for instilling in us these lessons from God's Word. But let me conclude with a question for each and every one of us. Are we modeling our message? Do others see in us an authentic faith, a sincere desire to serve God by serving others? A profound respect for the Word of God. If not, what changes do we need to make? It may be that there's one or more that due to the influence of a godly mother or grandmother or some other mother or father-like figure in your life, you recognize today your need to become a child of God, to be baptized into Christ based upon your penitence and your faith. If that be the case, we hope and pray that you'll come today and be baptized into Christ. And perhaps others of us, as we consider the godly influences in our lives, realize that we haven't been following Christ faithfully, that we need the prayers of the church on our behalf. If that be the need of your heart, won't you let that be known as together we stand and sing.
What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.